Listen to the voices of God. I just did. What?
In the back of the room.
It's so nice to be here with y'all. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day online. Happy Mother's Day to all of us. So, Mother's Day, it's a day to set aside in time to celebrate the individuals who are called mother. Sometimes mommy, sometimes ma, sometimes mama. But we're remembering and honoring a presence in our life, nurturing that within ourself, that within life itself, and possibly within ourselves, that divine idea that's giving birth to itself, that creative unfolding of life. So we each have a story about mothers, about our mom, and some of them were really great, and some of them maybe not so great, some of them disappointing. Reverend Rick's reading was just beautiful and kind of touched on all of that. And within these stories is a common theme of guidance. Mindfully or unconsciously, we each have been influenced in our life by the people, by the person we call mother, and those mother figures in our life. I have a coffee cup that I used this morning because it was a Mother's Day cup, and it's pretty faded. You can't really read it anymore, but what it says on it is, Mom, I have to read it. It was from you I learned to be me. And it was from my daughter, and it came to me the first year she was in college, and it came out of the blue, and I wasn't really expecting anything from her. It was her first year away, and you know, as in relationships, sometimes it was great, sometimes it wasn't so great. But I got this cup, and it was just like, oh, because, you know, I want to grow up and be her. She's amazing. She's amazing. And so it's a cup that I've kept on my shelf, and I bring it out, and I look at that, and I read that, and I think, wouldn't it be great if that was really all there was? But I know that who she is today is influenced by me, is influenced by my being her mom, but it's who she is. It's that divinity of God within her that is being revealed, that she's getting to know, that she's expressing. And, you know, both of my kids, if I could be all that I wanted to be and have them be all that they wanted to be, that would be fulfilling, I think, that divine creative flow that's in all of us. And I know that that divine guidance is, it's not elusive, even though we act like it's elusive. Well, maybe y'all don't, but I see out there in the world a little bit of this hesitancy to trust that divine guidance. Emerson wrote, there is guidance for each of us, and by lowly listening, we shall hear the right word. And that's a pretty famous quote, but there's another line that comes after that. And he says, why need you choose so painfully? So do we make it unnecessarily hard? How much do we trust that we know? And why do we insist on not trusting what we know? So when I think about that and I look at that, I consider the difference between knowing facts. There's a lot of facts to be known. And the idea of having an uncluttered mind that is in the flow of the all-knowing, creative mind of God. One feels quite effortful, If you've ever been in school, which many of us have been there, you remember memorizing things, you remember learning facts and passing the test and having that information that you needed to know. And sometimes it was effortless and just moved through us, but there was a lot of know the facts. And in life, there are facts to be known, and there is a knowing to be aware of and to be in the flow of. And it is that knowing, it is that divine presence, it's that divine guidance that is everywhere, permeating all of life, that we are a part of, that we get to continue to drop into, that we get to continue to recognize and hear the variances, the nuances, and the different ways that it shows up. And you may have said yourself, and I have heard myself say, I don't know what to do. Anybody? Ever? I'm not alone. Loneliness class. I'm not alone. So we come to realize, each of us, through our own journey, through our own living, that the guidance we seek, it's inside of us. That the intelligence that is God within us does know. And here's my favorite thing that I always like to remind myself and everyone of, and that is that my answers are within me, and your answers are within you. And even though it is through talking with each other and hearing the voice of God within each other and sharing with each other that we get to know that, but we actually don't have each other's answers. Well, we do, but we want to be able to know them and feel them and experience them ourselves. Yes? So it goes back to that trust thing, doesn't it? It goes back to trusting that awareness, message, intuition, maybe, that the intelligence that is God within does know. Eric Butterworth, are y'all familiar with him? Fabulous author, teacher, philosopher, and he referred to it as the great knower. And he teaches us there are not really thousands of things to learn in life. There is only one thing to learn, to know the knower within and to acknowledge him, I say it, in all our ways. So just as instinct guides the animals, intuition guides us. Intuition guides all of us. And we need to, well, we get to, I suggest, that we have the courage to look into our own heart and to hear our own intuition. Because what is intuition? Here's the fact that goes along with the knowing. Intuition is God in man. Okay, well, there it is. If intuition is God in man, and God is the knower of all, the presence, then when I am listening to my intuition, when I am tuning into it, when I am feeling it, because, right, it's not always a word. I don't always hear it out here, but I feel it in here. And when I'm listening to my intuition, I am listening to the divinity of God within me. That's divine guidance. And I find in my own life that it's been developed. I think as children, we have a pretty good ability to listen in here. And then we have to learn to listen out here because, you know, we do actually have to listen out here to get along in society and in the world and all of that. But we don't want to have it be an either or. We want to have it be a both and. And so somewhere along the way, did I lose my sense of listening and trusting within? Did I start to make it hard? Did I start to make it hard to trust this because I was too busy listening to all of this? Possibly. So one of the things that happened in my life that helped me to reconnect with that is I had a flower business for a few years, and it wasn't that I had any training. I didn't have any of the facts to go along with it. I just decided one day that I needed to make some money, and I thought, well, this would be a great idea. Maybe I can deliver flowers to people and put some beauty out in the world and make arrangements. And I started working with flowers, and I would look at these flowers, and I would think, well, heck, what am I going to do with y'all? And they would start talking to me. And it wasn't quick, but over time I realized that there was this intuition. There was this knowing, there was this experience of creativity flowing through me, that I was in the flow. And to be able to stand in front of all that was there and say, what will we create? What will we bring forth? And it was just this beautiful thing. So with my flower business, I did some weddings and some different activities, and one day I make a bride's bouquet, and it was my daughter and my one of our fun things that we would get to share in, and she would hold the bouquet and I would create it, and we're working on this one, and I'm just getting this idea that I should be putting these little silk butterflies in the bouquet. But we had not talked about it, the bride and I. We had not talked about it. So even though I kept feeling this urge to put the butterflies in, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Because the facts, stick with the facts, ma'am. I get to the wedding. We go up. I bring her the bouquet. It's absolutely stunning. It's beautiful. She loves it. And it turns out that she's releasing butterflies at the end of the service. And I said, oh. And I told her, I was going to put butterflies in your bouquet. And she says, well, why didn't you? And I had no good reason. I had no good reason. But it lives with me. It lives with me because from that point forward, I had this awareness of what it felt like to feel the intuition, to feel the inspiration, to feel the guidance, and to not say yes to it. So I started saying in my prayers, I'd like to experience more intuition. I'd like to have more intuition in my life. And you know what I heard back? Well, then act on it. It's happening. Learn to say yes. Learn to follow it. Learn to let it move me. And so that started happening more in my life. And I like to think of it that it was working with flowers that I learned to trust myself. And it was out of that I started noticing that I could trust myself more, not just with animals, or not just with flowers, not just with animals, but actually with people. Oh my goodness. Because that's a scary one sometimes. Can we trust the intuition within ourselves and our relationships with each other to be there, to be quiet, to be still, to participate? And we come to that place where we no longer need to hide or be hidden, but we can allow ourselves to be seen for who we are. Is that expression of God? It's moving absolutely perfectly through us. Ernest Holmes writes it like this: affirm and declare the spirit within is God, quickening into right action everything I touch, bringing the best out of all experiences, and forever guiding and sustaining. And in the very early pages of The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes writes, the practice of the science of mind calls for a positive understanding of the spirit of truth, a willingness to let this inner spirit guide us. And he reminds us over and over and over in a myriad of ways. There is an intelligence in the universe to which we may come that will guide and inspire us. So we come to this presence, we listen to this presence, we listen for the voices of God, and yet really, it's silence. And so, to be unafraid of the silence, to be able to be in our own silence, and to be able to be in the silence with each other, and to simply bask in that. In the silence, we hear our uncomfortableness, and we hear our connection. We feel it. We sense what's coming up within us. And it's this that we want to lean into. It's this that we want to make welcome. Even the discomfort, maybe especially the discomfort, because if we're to trust Rumi, those are the blocks that are getting in the way of us and our oneness with God, with spirit, with love. So in response to our question, what am I to do? Be still, yes. Be still. We used to say, be still and know God. And I'm going to say, be still and let God know, and then know God. Trust. Trust that infinite creative power that is back of all of life, that has created all that is all. Trust that. I can't always trust my humanness. I made a lot of mistakes as a mommy. My kids will be the first to tell you. I will probably make more. I can trust the divinity of God within me. I can trust that. I can come to know that in a greater way. So our spiritual practices are the tools that we can use to center with that presence, to connect with it, to know it in greater and greater and greater ways. And, you know, when we meditate, we let the silence speak to us. And when we pray, we're communing with that creative power. Yes, that's the power of prayer. And when we journal, I like to think of it as the mirror reflecting back to me what I'm thinking and what I'm believing. I use my journal very intentionally and mindfully. So we let our practices stir something within us so that we can pay attention to it, so that we can linger within it, so that we can know ourselves and we can know that presence in a greater and greater way. And then we can allow it to guide us. Oh, we can allow it to grow us. And so can we have faith in the guidance process? Can we have faith in knowing that sometimes it doesn't feel right? Sometimes that discomfort, it's not because we're not supposed to do it. Sometimes it is that. But sometimes it's actually because we're growing. We're on a leading edge. And we're moving into new territory of knowing and experiencing the divinity of God. So while, yes, it's a good practice to pause when we're in discomfort and to say, is this right for me? Just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. Feel the discomfort. Identify the discomfort. Is it the discomfort of, no, that's not right? Or is it the discomfort of, ooh, this is new? Is it the discomfort of, oh, new territory? Is it the discomfort of, ooh, I'm going to be known in a greater way? They're going to see me. Because that discomfort just take the hand of someone, well, these days, metaphorically, take the hand of someone you know and love. Take the presence of God and move right into it. Gently, courageously, mindfully, intentionally. How do I know what to do? The answer is to be still in our own consciousness and know that the Spirit within will guide and direct us. And really, there's so many answers to the question, depending on what the current need is. So we pay attention to what's going on in our life. And we allow that wisdom that is within us and that we are within to lead us, to guide us. We want to understand that not only is there an intelligence at work that knows, but we are each accessing that power. And we do it uniquely in our own ways. So have you ever been in a class where you went on a trust walk? Have you ever been with someone where you trusted them to walk you where you needed to go? So just think about life like a trust walk. Even if our eyes are wide open, can we trust that all-knowing presence to guide us? Can we trust that it will lead us? The practice is in the trust. The practice is in saying yes. We know that it's there. We know that divine guidance is there. How much do we trust it? How much do we allow ourselves to be moved by it? And how much do we keep thinking that we know better, that we know differently, that we can't do that because I'm whatever my reasons are. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too whatever. Can we trust it? So sometimes it's about becoming aware of what it is that we're moving towards. Sometimes it's becoming aligned with the vision of our life. You've heard Sarah announce a few times recently that we're having a visioning for our center. It's the same practice that we would use for ourselves. Catch. Can we catch the vision that Spirit has for us? Because when we know what that is, or when we have a sense of what that is, when we're connected with what that is, the trust is much easier. So as we're exploring this idea of what spiritual community means, we come into the visioning process and we ask those questions. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not, but they're beautiful and we can use them in our everyday life. What is Spirit's highest idea for me? What is Spirit's highest idea for this community? What is Spirit's highest and greatest idea for life? And then we ask, what is mine in this? What is mine to embody? What is mine to be a part of? And then we ask, what do I need to let go of? What do I need to let go of so that I can know that higher vision, so that I can align with it, so I can feel it moving through me? And the greatest question that we can ask in that inquiry is, and what else? What else? And then the practice is to be still and let it speak to us and not turn anything down that comes up. Not turn anything down that comes up. Let it all come up. It may not make sense in our current rhetoric. and our current story about life. We let it all come up. And then when we're out there in life with each other and someone says, here's what I'm up to in life, here's what I'm going to do, and our automatic response is, oh, no, don't do that. Instead, we might say, I support your intention. And I support you in listening. How may I be a part of that? How may I honor that? So let's continue to unify with that power. Let's continue to recognize that presence in all of the activities of our life. Because as we do so, we are guided. We are guided by it. So let's know this divine guidance for ourselves and for all life. And so it is. Thank you. Oh my goodness.